Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick. We have a jam-packed show. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Benchwarmers Redemption. I'm super excited. We're getting ready for Super Bowl weekend. We will preview the Super Bowl next week, as this week we have the Pro Bowl. We will not do anything about the Pro Bowl because why would we do anything about a game where people don't try? But we will go over conference championships, and what a week it was once again. The NFL playoffs have not disappointed. Let's get right into the thick of it. The Kansas City Chiefs knock off the Tennessee Titans 35-24. They win their first, or they make their first Super Bowl appearance since 1969. A 50-year drought snapped by the Chiefs. Congratulations to Andy Reid. He will make his second Super Bowl appearance. And the Chiefs deserved it, no doubt about it. The Titans got off to a nice early start, but the Chiefs, once they make their run, it seems like it's impossible to stop them. Derrick Henry was, I wouldn't say he was fully stopped, but he was definitely limited. He did not have the same amount of production as he did against the Ravens and the Patriots. 19 carries, 69 yards. I think the Chiefs will take that every single day of the week. Tannehill threw the ball better in this game than the past two, but that's not the formula the Titans need in order for them to win consistently in the playoffs. And they have done until this Chiefs game. The Chiefs defense showed up a little bit today, or last Sunday as well. Pardon me for that. But what's surprised me the most was how the Chiefs' offense has been. And I get the offense is so potent, but they performed like the greatest offense of all time starting in the second quarter of not only the Houston game, but in the Titans game. They just could not be stopped. And I do think part of that was Dean Pease's rigid style to only rush three at the quarterback the whole time. And I understand why he did that, because you send 5-6 guys, let's say you double Tyreek Hill or have a safety help over for Tyreek Hill. Well, Travis Kelce one-on-one, no thanks. Double Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill one-on-one, no thanks. It's not going to work for the Chiefs or for the Titans. And Mahomes, every time the Titans sent three, he just run for 10, get a first down. He had a lot of consistent play in this one. 8 carries, 53 yards for Patrick Mahomes, and the touchdown as well. That amazing touchdown run to end the first half. Definitely the play of the game for sure. And you got to give credit to the Titans for this run. It was just a little too much to win at New England, at Baltimore, at Kansas City. That's a lot to ask. And then let's say they somehow did beat Kansas City, go to the Super Bowl and win that. They would have earned their money if they won all four of those games. But congratulations to the Chiefs. Their offense is always legit. And if Sammy Watkins plays as big of a role as he did versus the Titans in the Super Bowl versus the Niners, good luck, San Francisco, because Sammy Watkins, 7 catches, 114 yards, and a touchdown. If they get that production from him, along to go with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, that's going to be a nightmare for defenses to guard. Even the 49er defense, that seems like they can stop anybody. And we'll get to the 49ers in a moment. But the defense as well for the Chiefs, making some plays. Tyrann Mathieu, I can't say enough about Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, he might be my favorite defensive player in the National Football League. Just his story, the way he leads, he inspires people. It really is. Like, if you want an inspiration story, Tyrann Mathieu is your guy. Tyrann Mathieu, I can't say enough about Tyrann Mathieu. I would love to have a Tyrann Mathieu on my football team. I mean, he is just special. He is absolutely special, fun to watch, fun to see him lead other guys. It really is something. And an underrated aspect, too, the Chiefs' special teams is very, very potent. Now, Harrison Butker is a very good kicker. He hits 50-yarders consistently. I like Dustin Colquitt and their returns. That can make a difference in the Super Bowl. What's one big kick return can make a big difference in that game. Mecole Hardman usually returning punts. I wouldn't be surprised to see Tyreek Hill back there to return one potentially in the Super Bowl. All right, so that was game one of two. The second one, the San Francisco 49ers obliterate the Green Bay Packers 37-20. The 49ers with their first Super Bowl appearance since 2012, and it was the Raheem Mostert show. The Packers could not stop Raheem Mostert at all. I mean, asking the Packers to stop Raheem Mostert would have been like asking them to stop Jim Brown the way he was going. 29 carries, 220 yards, and 4 touchdowns for Raheem Mostert, a journeyman running back, former Cleveland Brown, former Baltimore Raven, former Atlanta Falcon. Think those three teams feel good today about letting Raheem Mostert go? I don't think so. Jimmy Garoppolo threw 8 times, and they still put up 37 points. Kyle Shanahan, man. Kyle Shanahan, he is something else. He is definitely the best run schemer in the National Football League, no question about it. It really isn't even close, to be honest with you guys. It really isn't. And I know Sean McVay is phenomenal, but Kyle Shanahan, I mean, if you look at the previous 49er teams before this 49er team, it was rough, really rough. He had nothing to work with, absolutely nothing. You look at the offensive personnel right now on San Francisco, not the defense, the offensive personnel. It's not that elite. It's definitely not top 10 personnel skill group guys in terms of running backs and receivers. But they do their job, and that's what's most important. Deebo Samuel, absolutely great with his runs, doing a lot of end-around plays. He had a couple catches as well. George Kittle had one catch. And they still won by 17 points. That shows the creativity of Kyle Shanahan. It absolutely does. I mean, you talk about that. George Kittle with one catch. Emmanuel Sanders with 0 catches. Deebo Samuel with 2. Kendrick Bourne with 1. Dante Pettis with none. If you told me those numbers, Green Bay Packers are going to the Super Bowl. But then you see the rushing. Wow. What a game. What a game by Raheem Mostert. Another guy who has been cut on a lot. Who's been cut by a lot of teams, I should say. Really, really strong, inspirational story once again. Can't feel anything but happiness for the guy. Also, the fumbles that the defense caused. Kawan Williams causing a fumble. Eric Armstead causing a fumble. The interceptions by Sherman and Mosley. The Packers were just all sorts of out of sync in the first half. Second half, they turned it on, but obviously way too late after that 27-0 first half for the 49ers. Aaron Rodgers, 31 of 39, 326, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. You take away those picks, those aren't horrible numbers, but obviously a lot of that came in the second half when it was pretty much garbage time. Aaron Jones became a complete non-factor once they were down 27-0, had to throw the ball like crazy. Davante Adams had a nice game, 9 catches for 138. Rodgers missed him on that two-point conversion, throwing behind him. Jimmy Graham, so-so afternoon. That's about it in terms of the receiving core for the Green Bay Packers. Alan Lazard, he's all right. Not the best. Geronimo Allison, no thanks. Mercedes Lewis, Jake Kumerow. I don't know. And even Tyler Irvin, the special teamer, had a catch. That's how desperate they are in terms of needing weapons on offense. And Aaron Rodgers did not play too well in terms of the eye test. Those numbers look great, but don't let that first half deceive you. Because that first half, or don't let those numbers deceive you, pardon me. Because that first half was really, really, really bad. Really, really bad. And Aaron would admit that. I'm sure he would gladly admit that he was poor on the afternoon. And you know, it was a game he wanted, obviously due to the 49ers passing him up a little more, and obviously the Super Bowl. But the fact that the Niners passed him up, you have that viral quote, I won't be as disappointed as they will in passing me on draft day. So it was a game that he wanted to really prove himself in. That did not work. I mean, the Packers, punt, fumble, interception, punt. Those were the end results of their first half. It was bad. It was really, really, really bad. And they got what they deserved. And you have Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. Matt LaFleur, the Foo, as Stephen A. Smith likes to call him, has said he will not comment on whether he will retain Mike Pettine. So now the rumors are all over the place. Will Mike Pettine be back next year? And I would be surprised if he made a change, but those comments aren't necessarily much of an endorsement for Mike Pettine. And it will be very interesting to see what the Green Bay Packers do on defense. The Niners defense, I think everyone would love to be the Niners defense. They can beat you in so many ways. Their defensive line is just ridiculous. I mean, Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, Dee Ford. I mean, Solomon Thomas doesn't even start. He was the number three pick in the draft. And he doesn't even start. Anthony Zettel. I like Anthony Zettel a lot. You go linebackers. Getting Kawan Alexander back is huge. Back end, Sherman, Jaquiski Tartt, Jimmy Ward, and Emmanuel Mosley replacing Akilu Witherspoon. He's done a great job replacing Witherspoon. I like Kawan Williams in the slot, guarding whoever it may be. Special teams as well. Robbie Gould is phenomenal. Mitch Wisnowski's a solid punter. So these teams, it's going to be a fun Super Bowl. Best offense in Kansas City, best defense and the 49ers going at it. We could not have asked for a better Super Bowl. Two great teams, two great coaching staffs, two great front office groups, John Lynch of the Niners, Brett Veach of the Kansas City Chiefs, and a team that will win that has not won in a long, long time. It's going to be a great Super Bowl, a matchup I cannot wait to watch. Thank goodness the New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens aren't in. The 49ers and the Chiefs for the Super Bowl crown. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be a great Super Bowl. It's going to be one of the better Super Bowls, I think. It's going to be really fun to watch. It's going to be the chess match is going to be It's going to be must-see television. It has the potential to be one of the greatest Super Bowls ever. Cannot wait. It's going to be phenomenal. All right. Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns, as we did not have a chance to cover this last week. But the Cleveland Browns hired Kevin Stefanski as their new head coach, the Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator. And let's just say Browns fans are not too thrilled with the hire. I like the hire. And you're going to be like, oh, well, of course you like the hire. You're a Browns fan. Of course you're going to like the hire. Yeah, I am a Browns fan. You're right. But you see the things that are said about Stefanski. Leader. No-nonsense type of guy. Won't tolerate BS. He's a creative schemer. Now, a lot of people say Gary Kubiak's in charge of that run. And I do believe the run scheme in Minnesota. I do believe that he is. But I do think Stefanski had some ideas in that input. To input in that offense. But I'll go back to what I said earlier. Leader. No nonsense. That's exactly what the Cleveland Browns need. And let's just be honest. The Cleveland Browns are not going to attract the best candidate. They will never attract the best candidate as long as Mr. Haslam is the owner. Because Jimmy Haslam, let's just say, is flat out terrible. I won't get into my rants like I usually do about Jimmy Haslam, but he's flat out terrible. So you're not going to get the best head coach. You're not going to get Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule would not have gone to the Browns. Mike McCarthy. Yes, he did interview. Soon as the Cowboys called, see ya, not going to the Browns. Urban Meyer, not going to go to the Browns. The list goes on and on. Cleveland fans wanted Josh McDaniels. I can see why. I can totally understand that. However, Josh McDaniels' offense has not been that good. It has not been at all. Have you seen the Patriots' offense this year? It's not that creative either. Not to mention, Josh McDaniels has failed miserably as a head coach before with the Denver Broncos. Absolutely failed. That was a disaster of a run as a head coach. Well, now, has he learned from that? Yes, potentially. But one thing that has killed McDaniels, along with those things that I've said, is not taking the Colts job. Or he did take the Colts job and then said no thanks, even though he agreed and hired staff members. Josh McDaniels, after that moment, lost all his leverage. All his leverage. And Stefanski, in my opinion, is a better fit in Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski was my number one choice. My number one choice for this job. Because there are a lot of people like, oh, Urban Meyer, Josh McDaniels would have been, I don't know, he'd been okay. But Stefanski was my number one. Now, if this fails, nothing will work because of the Haslam family. If this fails, the Cleveland Browns will never be good under the Haslams. The Cleveland Browns, it's interesting because if this fails, fans will not show up anymore because it's like a restaurant that tries to make improvements each year. We'll upgrade, like, let's say, the the walls are the place. But you get the same crappy food. That's the Browns right now. I mean, you upgrade the place, you make it look nice and shiny, make it even bigger. Say you move out of a small space, move into a bigger space, add like a bar, some nice booths, a table, chairs. But the food still stinks. That's the Browns. Yeah, Baker Mayfield, big flashy name. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. is the definition of brand. I mean, everyone in the world knows who Odell Beckham Jr. is. Jarvis Landry. The Cleveland Browns were the most talked team about last offseason. Everyone was talking about the Browns. Everyone bought into the hype, myself included. And we were all wrong. Because what is the end result? You can make all these flashy improvements, these flashy names, but the product still stinks. Just like the restaurant. You make it look, have all these decorative lights, nice tables, a nice booth, a bar, even add a couple TVs. But the food stinks. That's the Cleveland Browns. And if Stefanski doesn't work, you're going to hear that same analogy next January 2021. All right, enough of the Browns. Had to, unfortunately, talk about the Browns. Did not want to, but what else is new? They make a new head coaching change, as they should have, but it's a joke of a franchise, joke of leadership. The New York Mets, switch to baseball here. The New York Mets have parted ways with Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran did not even manage one game with the New York Mets. The Mets making the change after Beltran was named in the Houston Astros sign-stealing report. And for Mr. Beltran, he did this to himself. And he did it to himself because he lied about it. He claimed he had no idea. If he stayed silent and said, I'm not allowed to comment due to this investigation taking place, he would have been fine. But that's not what Mr. Beltran did. Instead, he denied all involvement. And if you think Major League Baseball, at that time, wanted to find every piece of evidence to make sure Carlos Beltran was named in that report, you are 1,000% correct. They definitely wanted to find every piece of evidence. Carlos Beltran did himself in. And quite frankly, he should have been gone. And he got what he deserved. I do think, after reflecting on some of these things, reading more about it, the players should have got some sort of punishment. Now, I get the Players Association drama that could unfold with potentially punishing the players. But it was something that had to be done. It was something that had to be done, no doubt about it. And it wasn't. And I think it sends the wrong message. I think Jimmy Steetman, he was on the show last week, said this last week on the show, that the players, they're not getting punched. They'd do it again. Would you cheat the way the Astros cheated as a player? Win a World Series. The World Series. And not get punished. The only thing that would happen is you would lose your manager. Would you get your manager fired in order to do what the Houston Astros did and get a World Series? I think the answer is yeah, you would. I think you would do that. Even though that's the wrong answer, most people in society would do that. Most players in baseball would do that. Some organizations definitely would not. But some would. And some did. You got the Red Sox. We'll see what punishment comes out for them. You have allegations now against the Yankees doing this. MLB says Yankees did not do anything outside of the Apple Watch, which they were fined for. It's just not a good look for baseball. But at the same time, even though it's not a good look for baseball, baseball's gaining popularity because of this scandal. It is. You have people who have never watched baseball before constantly wanting updates about this Astros situation. And as the game grows, you want it to grow by performance, by way of accomplishment, not by the way of cheating. I don't think anyone wants the game to grow by cheating. But the game is growing because of this scandal. It has gained popularity. Even though that is not ideal, the ideal way for baseball to gain popularity, that's the case. That is the case right now with Major League Baseball. Going back to the Mets, they are down to three finalists. Luis Rojas, quality control coach. Hensley Mullins, bench coach. Who's bench coach of San Francisco last season. And Tony DeFrancisco, first base coach, has had managerial experience. He was the interim manager of the Astros after they fired Brad Mills back a while ago. I expect Luis Rojas to get this job. All the reports are that the likelihood is that he will get it. The traits that the Mets adore him with. And I just think Luis Rojas, the New York, is going to be the likely fit. In terms of Boston, I have no idea what Boston's going to do. I have no idea. In terms of Houston, seems like they're kind of going to go the veteran route, although they did interview Eduardo Perez, ESPN analyst, but I'd expect them to go the veteran manager route. It will be very interesting to see what these three teams do. I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing how these three teams do. And their managerial searches. Some minor baseball news. Francisco Liriano has just agreed to a deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. That, according to John Heyman. Good lefty reliever. Marcell Ozuna, last night, agreed a one-year $18 million deal with the Atlanta Braves. He will be replacing Josh Donaldson. Austin Riley will likely move up to third base, and Ozuna will go into that left field spot and will probably hit where Donaldson did, cleanup. I like this deal for Atlanta. I love this deal for Ozuna. He no longer has that qualifying offer attached to him next season. I think that's going to be great for Ozuna. It really is going to be special, that Atlanta Braves lineup. I think the Atlanta Braves are legitimate World Series contenders. They have not been afraid to splash the cash, and you have to give them credit for that. You have to give them credit for that. They kept their money where their mouth is. And that's something that I admire. And I think the Atlanta Braves fan base admires as well. The White Sox have done the same thing in the American League. Now, Josh Donaldson, 4 years, they were never going to do that. But this 1 year for Ozuna is definitely a very solid fallback plan for the Atlanta Braves. And I expect him to do well down in Atlanta. Some college hoops action last night. A little brawl took place between Kansas and Kansas State. Not a little ball, a brawl, a major brawl. Silvino D'Souza of Kansas blocked a shot at the end of the game from Gordon, from Juwan Gordon. And after he blocked a shot, he stood over Gordon, and then the melee began. Now, both teams are at fault, in my opinion, a little bit. But no team is at fault more than Kansas. Silvino D'Souza, he did 3 major no-nos. Major no-no number 1. Standing over a player at the end of the game after a block. Now, Kansas fan will say, well, we were dribbling out the clock. He should not have stole it. I agree with that. I actually do agree with that. Generally, I do. But at the same time, it is kind of fair game. Now, I would not have done that, no doubt, but it is fair game in a way. I do think it's a little disrespectful to steal it, but it is fair game nonetheless. So major no number 1, standing over Juwan Gordon. That's, you just don't do that. You don't do that. It's extremely unprofessional. Major no-no number 2. And this is the in order of egregious actions and the timeline. Throwing punches. That's a no-no, obviously. I don't think I need to explain why throwing punches should not be allowed. But Silvino D'Souza threw punches. Can't do that. Major no-no number 3, and by far the worst of the major no-nos. Silvino D'Souza, in the disabled section, that was the disabled section where the fight was, where the brawl occurred, picks up a chair, and thank goodness that he didn't strike anyone with that chair. Yikes. You can't pick up a chair. I don't think that's a good idea. And if you struck someone with that chair, it's not equipment either. That's not like part of his equipment. The difference between the Myles Garrett. Well, Myles Garrett struck Rudolph in the head. Yes, he did. No defending that. No doubt. But at the same time, that is part of his equipment. That chair is not part of Silvino D'Souza's equipment. It is not. If he struck someone in the head with that chair, you're talking about a potentially lifetime ban from basketball. Not just college basketball, but NBA, potential opportunities in Europe, the rising, the NBL League in Australia, the Chinese Basketball Association in China. Not a team would touch him. Ever again. If he struck someone with that chair. Especially if it was to a disabled fan. That would be a nightmare. Where you're talking about maybe the potential. Now, I would not do this. But the suggestion of potential criminal charges. I would not do that. I want to reiterate. I would not criminally charge anyone for that. Now, what should D'Souza get in terms of suspensions? I think Silvio D'Souza should be suspended for the rest of the year. I think the precedent was set with the Myles Garrett situation. I hate comparing it to that, but I would suspend D'Souza for the rest of the season. And he can come back and play his junior year. But he should not be allowed to play again this season. And in terms of the other suspensions, Juwan Gordon has to get a couple games. I hate saying that, but it's just how it is. It's a no-no that Steele caused the whole melee of it. Antonio Gordon and David Sloan of Kansas State should get a couple games as well. James Love, I think, should get 5 games, as he was the one who pushed the brawl into this disabled section. That is a no-no. And the rest of it, anyone who is really in that, because you can't suspend everybody, I would give Marcus Garrett and David McCormick a couple games as well, as they were prime in that scuffle, prime instigators in that scuffle as well. Not a good situation for college basketball to deal with. It's been a wild year in college basketball, too. Wild, wild, wild year. I mean, we've had a bunch of new number ones in the country. A lot of good competitive action. It's been a good year for college hoops. Very good year until that moment. Until that moment. I mean, North Carolina won't even make the tournament likely. So, it's been interesting. Virginia might not make the tournament. Be very, very, very fun to watch down the stretch. Before we move on, I want to send my condolences to the Wooten family. Morgan Wooten, one of the best coaches, in my opinion, in the history of basketball. High school coach at DeMatha for 46 years. I mean, everyone knows Morgan Wooten in this area if you follow basketball. I mean, he is an absolute legend. Absolute legend. And he is unfortunately passed at the age of 88. He has built DeMatha into one of the best high school programs in the country. It's definitely the best high school program in the state of Maryland. And it really, I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball. There's no other way to say it. And we definitely send our condolences to the Wooten family. It's a big loss. It's a big loss, no doubt about it. But Morgan Wooten, legend at DeMatha, has helped build DeMatha. We wish the Wooten family nothing but our prayers and condolences, and hope they get all the support they need in this difficult time. All right, moving on to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter, obviously, was going to be elected. It was not unanimous. Obviously, he should have been unanimous. Whoever that one voter is just, I don't know. I don't know what to say, but that's not the point. Derek Jeter, obviously deserving. Anyone who thinks Derek Jeter is not in the Hall of Fame should not be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm sorry, you need to get drug tested. You need to get drug tested if you think Derek Jeter is not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, one of the greatest shortstops in the history of the game. No, I don't even need to say it. Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer, period. Now, the more controversial Hall of Famer, and Larry Walker. It took 10 years for Larry Walker, and there are a lot of people who think he should be in, and a lot of people who don't think he should be in. I can't hate it, but I see the argument in Larry Walker not being in the Hall of Fame. Larry Walker obviously had a very successful career with Colorado. Colorado, where he hit .313 in his career. That was his career batting average, with 383 homers, 1,311 RBIs, 230 stolen bases, and he was a five-time All-Star. He spent 17 years mainly with the Rockies, nine. He spent five with the Expos, six with the Expos, nine with the Rockies, and two with the Cardinals. Obviously, the year he was best was 1997 when he won National League MVP in Colorado. He had .366, 49 homers, 130 RBIs, and a .720 slugging percentage. Walker won the NL batting crown in 98, 99, and 01 in his career. Now, here's the numbers that it makes people, that makes the debate legitimate. Larry Walker batted .381 with a 1.172 OPS and 154 home runs in 597 games at Coors Field, which is the home stadium of the Rockies. He hit .282 career batting average on the road, everywhere else. And it's why I personally would not have elected him. I think he was inflated by Colorado. And I'm not going to hate on it. It's not like he absolutely shouldn't have been in. But personally, I don't think he should have got in. But I see the legitimate argument. He had a 72.7 career WAR. And I love WAR. WAR is one of my favorite stats. That's a great WAR, no doubt about it. And I would have liked to see some other guys get in instead of Larry Walker. Look, I get Curt Schilling's a little bit of a crazy guy outside of baseball, like in terms of his like personal stuff and whatnot. Curt Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling should have got in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, I can see why they weren't. Omar Vizquel should have been in the Hall of Fame. Those are the three I would like to see make the Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter, Curt Schilling, Omar Vizquel. Those are the three that should have been in the Hall of Fame. And I understand why some weren't. But those are the guys I would have liked to see. I mean, Curt Schilling, absolutely dominant as a pitcher. Omar Vizquel, one of the another one great at shortstop. Maybe the best defensive shortstop in the history of the game. I mean, he's amazing defensively. Absolutely pleasure to watch. And you see some of the votes. Brad Penny got a vote. Brad Penny. The Brad Penny. J.J. Putz. Adam Dunn. Washington National legend Adam Dunn. Raul Ibanez got a vote. Cliff Lee got a couple votes. I like Cliff Lee, but eh. Eric Chavez got a couple votes. Yeesh. I don't know, man. I don't know. But congratulations, nonetheless, to Larry Walker. He is in the Hall of Fame, nonetheless. And we definitely hope Omar Vizquel and Curt Schilling get in like they rightfully deserve. Some NBA to wrap up the show here. The Lakers got trounced by the Boston Celtics on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And the question rises that I agree with. Why did LeBron go to the Suns game before the Celtics game? He got to the arena 3.5 hours before tip. That's not too professional, in my opinion. I like LeBron. You guys know I love LeBron. But, yeah, I don't like that look. You care more about your son's games than your own? I don't think that was too professional, in my opinion. In terms of disappointments, I want to highlight one team that has been an extreme disappointment. And we somewhat called it. I somewhat called it. The Portland Trail Blazers, as people on the show remember, I picked the Trail Blazers to miss the playoffs. Boy, how good do I look right now. 19-26. I mean, they have trouble beating the Warriors, who, I mean, the Warriors have nobody. Obviously, due to injuries. I mean, D'Angelo Russell's great. They don't even play him in the overtime period. Wonder why they won't call tanking. Draymond Green didn't play in the fourth quarter or overtime. Wonder why tanking. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson not playing. They barely beat the Warriors. I'll tell you what. The Portland Trail Blazers are on the clock, not just in terms of winning. But if this thing blows up, I'm telling you right now, the NBA is crazy things that happen. I think the next superstar that could move is Damian Lillard. I really do. And I get he's all about Portland. All about Portland. And I hope he stays in Portland. But if they don't even make the playoffs, I'm sorry. That's not good. I think Damian Lillard might be the next superstar to move. We never know who it is. We never know who it is. We never would have guessed AD would have been it a year ago. Jimmy Butler wanting out of Minnesota with Tom Thibodeau after a year. No one would have guessed that. No one. I don't care what anyone says. Nobody. Everyone thought it'd be Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal would go. Well, Bradley Beal is stuck in Washington. The dysfunctional mess that is the Washington Wizards. Everyone thought Kevin Love might be going. Kevin Love's not gone anywhere. Devin Booker. Oh, Devin Booker's not going nowhere. Maybe Kat goes, but Kat just came out and said, I'm not leaving Minnesota. I'm going to be in Minnesota. So, you connect the dots. Damian Lillard, I think, could be on the move. And I think CJ could too. Portland's in this phase right now where if they don't win, this year, if they don't even make the playoffs this year, their roster stinks. They need to rebuild, man. They need to reboot this thing and start over. Because it would have been a failure. It would have been a failed experiment. You can't go from conference finals to missing the playoffs and not change anything. Change has to happen. Maybe Dame stays, but then CJ McCollum has to go. You can't keep that backcourt together because it failed. It failed not once but twice. I would be stunned if they missed the playoffs and they kept their same core going into 2020-2021. I would be stunned. Absolutely stunned. Miami Heat, give them credit. They've been phenomenal this year. Definitely happy for Bam Adebayo, who should be an all-star. I love Bam Adebayo. Ja Morant in Memphis. That dude is special. He has the potential to be the best point guard in the game one day. And it would not surprise me if he became that. I love watching Ja Morant play. Ja Morant is a special, special talent. Memphis is lucky to have Ja Morant. Extremely lucky to have Ja Morant. And they're in that A spot right now. OKC, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, special player. He's taken tremendous leaps forward. A tremendous amount of leaps forward. Chris Paul, he should be an all-star in my opinion. Chris Paul should be an all-star. What he's done with that Thunder team is nothing short of spectacular. In terms of disappointments, the Rockets, yikes, not going to win. They'll make the playoffs, but they're not going to win. They won't win a playoff series, especially if they have to play one of the LA teams, Utah, Dallas, Denver. They're not going to beat any of those five teams. They're just not. They're not built to win the playoffs. And I think Mike D'Antoni will go at the end of the season. Philly, disappointment. Probably the biggest disappointment of all. It really is shocking to see how Philly has dropped so much. Brett Brown, if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals next year, I don't see how Brett Brown can continue as coach. You just admit that you don't care about winning if you continue with Brett Brown as your coach. But, hey, that might be the route Philly wants to go. Maybe they just care about money. We shall see. So, fun episode here on the Benchwarmers Redemption. Pro Bowl this week. Next week, we will preview the Super Bowl. And we will also have updates for you on the MLB jobs that need to be filled in Houston, Boston, and New York, the Mets. If those jobs get filled, we will cover those hirings as well. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merritt, and until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.